Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, if you want an action-packed, thrill-a-minute, nonstop week, then this is your week. There's more evacuations that have been ordered as of yesterday for residents on Hawaii's Big Island after a new lava fissure threatened to send bright orange lava spewing onto major highways and roads. It's the 18th fissure caused by the Kilauea volcano that first erupted more than a week ago. And of course, this report of this new fissure was reported yesterday morning, and steam and lava spatter now is coming out of that. Residents living along the road close to this new fissure have been ordered to evacuate. And of course, the eruption of the Kilauea volcano is part of the Pacific Rim Ring of Fire. And that's caused experts to keep a close eye and a close watch on volcano peaks along America's west coast, because they are also part of this geologically active region. And then there's this. Today is the day many of us have long anticipated and about which we have prayed much. And I'm referring to the opening of our new U.S. embassy in the city of Jerusalem, moved there from Tel Aviv. President Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner arrived late yesterday in Israel. And that couple, both senior White House advisors, attended a ceremony today there in Jerusalem, announcing the opening of the new embassy. And it was filled with a lot of pomp and circumstance, even though the president was not there himself, but instead spoke to the gathering via video connection. His decision to move operations from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, of course, has angered the Palestinians, and there has been some violent protests today. And the last I heard, some 41 people have been killed along the Israeli-Gaza border. But of course, we believe this decision by the president is the right one, and it has been strategically timed to coincide with the State of Israel's 70th anniversary, which is, of course, this month. Now, we have all of this going on. We're going to be talking about some of that coming up in the latter part of the program. But in addition to all this, there is a battle royal shaping up here in my home state of North Carolina. This past Tuesday, Pastor Mark Harris, former pastor at First Baptist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina, defeated GOP incumbent Robert Pittenger, who was seeking his fourth term in Congress. Well, Tuesday's results is the latest example of Republican voters choosing pro-Trump outsiders over pro-Trump candidates backed by national political figures. And of course, Dr. Harris will face another political newcomer, Democrat Dan McCready, in November. And just so you know, this past Tuesday, the vote count was 48% for Mark Harris to 46% for Robert Pittenger. And that's about an 800 vote difference. And just also so that you know, 2 years ago, Mark ran against Robert Pittenger, and Pittenger eked out a 134 vote win over Harris. Well, with all of that, friends, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by the entire team. Sam Rohrer is aboard. Dr. Gary Dull is aboard. And our topic today is going to be this: explosive situations in Hawaii, Israel, and Washington, D.C. And we're going to start with Washington, D.C. And with us today to help us discuss his victory here in North Carolina, with the hopes of him ultimately arriving in Washington, D.C., is Pastor Mark Harris, to whom I just alluded. Mark, I want to thank you so much for being on the program with us today.
Well, I'm thrilled to be there with you, David, and just thank you so much for having me as a part of your program.
Well, Mark, we're glad to have you aboard, and I know the November matchup between you and Dan McCready is going to be quite the race. Your opponent is a former Marine who could run well in the military-heavy eastern part of District 9. His biography also says that he served in Iraq, and he was baptized in water from the Euphrates River. Now, I find all that to be very, very interesting. But, Mark, you're obviously a very conservative candidate socially, fiscally, and so on. You obviously are best known to the residents of our state as being the one who not only supported our state's bathroom bill known as HB2, but you led the charge in that effort. I'd like to ask you this. What is it that you bring to the race that is vitally important, not just to the occupants of the state of North Carolina, but also what is it you're going to bring to Washington, D.C. to help drain the swamp?
Well, David, I really believe that what I bring to the table as a representative for the 9th District is somebody that has walked with through life with people. You know, I have served as a pastor for more than 30 years, and I know what it is to walk through life with individuals and to know the challenges that they face and to know the things that are important to them. And I feel like that Washington in so many ways has lost touch with that reality. They've become tone deaf to what individuals are saying out here. And so, you know, I think bringing that kind of experience to the table and being able to go and represent, one of the themes that we have had in our campaign from the beginning is that we need less of Washington, D.C. and the 9th District, and we need more of the 9th District going to Washington, D.C. And that's what we intend to do. I bring a life record of standing on conservative principles, as you mentioned, both fiscally and socially. And this district is a conservative district, regardless what anybody is going to try to tell you different. And the fact that Mr. McCready is coming in here as a Democrat, and he can try to run from that as much as he wants. He can try to distance himself from Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. But the reality is he's going to have to own the policies and own those policy priorities that are a part of what he is doing. So we feel good about this race, and we feel that we're going to bring a strong, solid, consistent, conservative voice marked by character once again.
Well, Mark, let me just ask you a quick question. We've got about a minute left. You ran against a sitting incumbent. A lot of the races going on across the country right now, people are watching them, wondering whether or not the president's coattails are going to carry through. There's a lot of other things. But how did the president factor into the primary decision-making of choice between you and the incumbent that you beat in the primary? Was the president a factor? And if so, how and to what degree?
I think both of us tried to make clear in the campaign of our loyalty to President Trump's agenda and wanting to move it forward. And to be honest with you, I think that at the end of the day, people in this district were tired of a Congress that has been slow walking his agenda. And I think that played a major factor in it. And the president, even down to the omnibus bill that he ultimately signed, but it made it very clear that he called the bill ridiculous at one point, and even said that, you know, he chastised Congress for the way they went about passing it and proclaimed, never, ever again will I sign something like this.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mark Harris. He is the GOP candidate for Congress from North Carolina's 9th District. And when we come back from the break, we're going to continue our discussion with him as we deal with this topic, explosive situations in Hawaii, Israel, and Washington, D.C. I want you to stay with us. Don't miss this exciting conversation covering all things going on in Washington and literally around the world on Standing the Gap Today. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Midnight, May 14, 1948. The State of Israel came into being and was immediately recognized by the United States and the Soviet Union. A homeland for the thousands of Jews who were persecuted and displaced during World War II, it was attacked the next day by the Transjordanian Army, the Arab Legion, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. Against all odds, Israel survived. In November of 1948, President Harry S. Truman wrote to Dr. Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel, "I want to tell you how happy and impressed I've been at the remarkable progress made by the new state of Israel."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. Again, this is Dave Kistler. I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Dull, Sam Rohrer, the entire team. And our special guest is Pastor Mark Harris, formerly the pastor of First Baptist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. He is now the GOP nominee for Congress from North Carolina's 9th District. And we're going to be talking with him more about the campaign upcoming. But before we do that, I want to bring you the latest. I said going into the early part of segment one that there had been 41 people killed in these clashes along the Israeli-Gaza border as a result of the decision to move our embassy to Jerusalem. Well, that number now is up to 59. That have been killed. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we want to implore you to pray for God's protection and God's intervention along the Israeli-Gaza border, across the entire Middle East, really. This is a time that there are sinister entities, very nefarious entities, that would love to inflame this into something that would go region-wide, if not worldwide. But do be praying about that. We'll keep you posted over the course of the program if there is any dramatic change. Well, North Carolina, often viewed as a swing state in presidential elections, has a Democratic governor and a veto-proof Republican state legislature. On the national level, Republicans control 9 of the 13 House seats and both Senate seats. Well, during this past Tuesday's primary elections, the state's most closely watched race was again in the 9th District, which is a largely rural suburban district stretching along the state's southern border between Charlotte and Fayetteville. And according to the Weekly Standard, Robert Pittenger and Mark Harris spent most of the race, quote, trying to out-Trump each other, end quote. With us to discuss this great victory over a three-term incumbent is Mark Harris. And Mark, again, I want to say thank you for being on the program with us today.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Mark, your support of President Trump has been clear. It's been unequivocal. In fact, I want to just read to our listeners a statement you made with respect to President Trump. And here's what you said. Trump has met and exceeded what my expectations and hopes would have been for his presidency, end quote. I want to ask you, why did you say that? And what specifically has he done that has eclipsed what your initial expectations were?
Well, I think if you look at his presidency on the whole, you have to say that it really is a accurate theme to say promises made, promises kept. He truly has set out to keep the promises he made to the American people. Now, he's had his challenges, no doubt, oftentimes with Congress that has seemed to slow walk the building of the wall, slow walk the defunding of sanctuary cities, the slow walking defunding Planned Parenthood, and slow walking the repeal and replace of Obamacare. I mean, he's had his challenges with Congress, but when you look overall at what this president has done and what he has done for religious freedom, his single-handed approach to try to protect Christians through and our churches and our religious freedom through the Johnson Amendment, trying to tell the IRS they can't go after these churches. I think that's critically important. What he's done in appointing a judge like Justice Gorsuch was absolutely incredible for the future of our Supreme Court. I think he has done everything we could have hoped for. Many of the steps he had to take, even to the point Republicans oftentimes talked about on health care, being able to allow health care and insurance to be purchased across state lines. This president has stepped up and done some things by executive order when Congress has just sort of left him out there. And so I'm extremely grateful for this president and really for just how he's kept his commitments.
Well, certainly, Mark, it's a delight to have you with us. And Donald Trump is quite a unique individual. And, of course, he's quite a unique president. I don't think that the people in the swamp in Washington, D.C. really understand what it is for a man to keep his promises once he gets elected. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing. And we can be very thankful for that. And just taking into consideration what he's done this past week is absolutely tremendous. But, you know, there are a number of Democrats who are comparing your general election opponent, Dan McCready, to Connor Lamb, who, of course, is the Pennsylvania Democrat who won a special election to mark up here in PA. And, of course, I was very close to that because I know the fellow that he beat quite well. Uh-huh. But the North Carolina 9th District seat is very conservative, having been held by a Republican since about 1963, which is a long time. So my question to you, Mark, is what are the issues that you see most important to the North Carolina 9th District voters that you're going to be building your campaign and then after you get elected, your time on in Washington?
Well, I think the voters of the 9th District understand really what our president's trying to do and what his agenda's about. And that is that if we do what is best for America overall, then we're going to be doing what is best for the 9th District. And I think the issues that we've talked about even throughout this campaign are critically important. Building that border wall on the southern border, it's extremely important. Protecting the sanctity of human life and defunding Planned Parenthood. Those are priorities. And defunding sanctuary cities, all those things I mentioned a few moments ago. And obviously the economy is critical. And right now it's moving forward. And I think the citizens of the 9th District see that and are grateful for that. So I do think that going into this race this fall, that it's going to be important for us to keep that message going forward, that this is a president, that the promises made, promises kept. We just need a Congress that's going to rally behind him and move these agenda items forward because they are what's important to the people of the 9th District. And I think we have the winning message.
I want to continue on that a little bit if I can.
Sure.
Issues are one thing. A Congress that is viewed as ineffective and cowardly and not following along, we know that clearly is there too. But I want to go right to the issue of the trust factor. The trust factor in Congress is about 9%, 8%, 7%, depending upon who you would talk to and who does the polling. You were a former pastor, and I'm wondering from your perspective, honestly, as you traverse that congressional district and as people made determinations about you and about what the opponent, the fellow you ran against, said, even though both of you were claiming to support the president's issues sufficiently and effectively, what level of trust do you think, honestly, the fact that you were a pastor played into this? Anything?
I think it played into it. I think that the people do want to be able to have a sense of trust once again, a sense of confidence that we have congressmen that are going to tell us the truth. The people are smart. They're seeing through the campaign junk that goes on. They're seeing through those kind of things, and they're wanting, I believe, us to be honest with them. not only for the good things that are being done, but yet for the challenges that we face. I mean, let's just be honest. We've still got some serious economic challenges. We have a $21 trillion debt. That's serious. And a lot of that is dealing with funding that and entitlement areas and that have got to be dealt with. And I think they're looking for some people that will just go look for some honest answers and come back and share them. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. One of the things I push for is term limits. I'm a firm believer in term limits. And I would have plenty that would say, well, you know, good luck with that. And I would say, look, I understand it'll be a challenge. But if we can get any kind of momentum with term limits, I think we have an opportunity, because that's the only way we're going to change the swamp is I believe, with term limits ultimately.
Mark, let me follow up on what Sam just asked you. You are a pastor, a former pastor across this state. I know personally from traversing the state east to west, north to south, there is immense respect across this state for you because of your stellar leadership on a number of issues. And so you faced the onslaught here in the state of North Carolina before as a conservative, as a Christian conservative, as a pastor. When you get to Washington, D.C., okay, we're going to say when you get there, what would be your top three priorities within your first year? What would you begin to work on first if the good people of the 9th District were to elect you?
One of the greatest concerns I have, and I would probably put this almost as a top priority, would be to be a part of bringing our spending under control. I'm quite serious when I talk about the $21 trillion debt. That is extremely troublesome to all of us. I mean, the tax cuts that were passed at the end of the year, we all celebrated. I would have voted for those because we felt they would spur the economy. And I think we have seen a lot of that taking place. But I think we are limited because we've never seen the full effect of those kind of historic tax cuts with a wet blanket of a $21 trillion national debt being thrown over the fires of an economy that those tax cuts could bring. So I want to be a part of cutting spending. I think that's key. I also want to be a part of helping deal with this issue of illegal immigration. And I do think we've got to start with securing the border. And that would be one of my first priorities in helping to do that. And then, of course, I think when you're cutting spending, there are certain things that tie in, such as defunding Planned Parenthood and defunding sanctuary cities that all need to be a part of that. And we have a serious problem that we have been facing, but I don't think we have even started to see the effect of the healthcare crisis that is quickly approaching.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mark Harris. He is the candidate on the GOP side for the congressional seat from North Carolina's 9th District. And Mark, I want to say this, the three things you highlighted are three that are top on my priority list as well. And so thank you for mentioning those. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Mark Harris, but we're going to move from Washington to Israel. Don't miss this insightful discussion coming up on Stand in the Gap today as we discuss this topic, explosive situations in Hawaii, Israel, and Washington.
Job was a man of great integrity. Faithful in his walk before God, God proclaimed him perfect. Honorable in his life before others, his friends proclaimed him upright. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. God trusted Job so much that he challenged the devil to buffet him. So the devil did. He killed his children. He stole his possessions and he turned his friends against him. Even his wife told him to curse God and die. Job had a lot to feel sorry about, but his faith did not waver. In fact, he remained so faithful to God that in the face of terrible calamity, he said, "Naked came I into the world, and naked will I go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Can God trust you to respond like Job? Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer asking God to raise up Christians in America like Job? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Ladies and gentlemen, about 2.5 hours ago, the official ceremony opening the new U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem took place. And I was able to watch at least a significant portion of it. And to be honest with you, it was one of the most amazing things I have ever witnessed in all my life. To say that Bibi Netanyahu was filled with energy and was the most animated I think I've ever seen him, that would probably be an understatement. But the entire U.S. delegation of about 250 included 10 senators. And it was very interesting to see Ted Cruz sitting very close in proximity to Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, as well as a number of other senators and a number of U.S. congressmen as well. Ivanka Trump was there, as we noted earlier in the early part of the program. Her husband, Jared Kushner, was there as well. And I think what she said when she arrived on the ground yesterday sums up basically all of the emotions and the feelings that many of us that are so supportive of this move of the embassy to Jerusalem have felt. Let me just read to you the statement by Ivanka. She said, "With great joy, I am returning to Jerusalem. I am honored to join the distinguished delegation representing President Trump, his administration, and the American people at this momentous ceremony commemorating the opening of our new U.S. embassy in Jerusalem, Israel. We look forward to celebrating Israel's 70th anniversary and the bright future ahead. We will pray for the boundless potential of the future of the United States-Israel alliance, and we will pray for peace," end quote. Now, while that was an outstanding statement, what is most intriguing to me is that the ceremony about 2.5 hours ago started with an invocation by Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, and concluded with a benediction by Pastor John Hagee from San Antonio, Texas, both very clear evangelical religious leaders. Mark, I know you're a pastor, former pastor. You're still a preacher. The other three of us are all preachers as well. This move of our embassy is not just historic, it's absolutely unprecedented. And I would love to have your thoughts on the significance of this move by our president.
Well, I'm like you. I caught just some pieces of it earlier, but I caught enough of it that, boy, it just gave me chills, to be honest with you, as I saw everything transpiring. This is a tremendous day. Not only to happen today as we form our or move our embassy there, but to do it on this anniversary, the 70th anniversary of the founding of Israel, completing 70 years since the new state of Israel was founded. It's just it's powerful. And I think without question, I love the statement that was made earlier. In fact, I think Lindsey Graham made it. That we're not going to allow the Palestinians to determine American foreign policy, and Democrats and Republicans united voted to do this, and President Trump got it done. And I think it is a tremendous testimony to where we are today. And I'm certainly sorry for the loss of life that has taken place today in the midst of the clashes. But it is a historic and, as you said, unprecedented, and I think an awesome, awesome thing.
Mark, it's tremendous to see that after 23 years, that is back to 1995, president's saying we need to move the embassy to Jerusalem. It's a tremendous thing to see that Donald Trump has done that. And ahead of today's great event, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu lauded the embassy move as, and I quote, "a truly historical event," calling it the decision of, once again, I quote, "the greatest major power in the world, our friend, the United States." President Trump promised to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and did so. He promised to move the American embassy and is doing so. Of course, we will all celebrate this day tomorrow. Of course, he said this yesterday. It is truly a celebration. Afterwards, two additional embassies, Guatemala and Paraguay, will come here, and others are on the way, end quote. And I kind of think that what we're going to see in the near future are other nations besides Guatemala and Paraguay moving to Jerusalem. That's Gary Dull saying that, not Bibi Netanyahu. It was interesting in watching this particular event today. And by the way, fellas, I saw it all on Newsmax. Newsmax completely covered it from cover to cover, that Bibi Netanyahu said, in addition to what I just quoted, he said, "What a glorious day this is." He said, "Let's all remember this moment." And then he said something else that I thought is very biblically based. And he based this upon the book of Zechariah, where he said, you can only build peace on truth. Now, Mark, I think those are some tremendous statements. But as you see all of this coming together, as a preacher, now a minister in government, what kind of a prophetic component do you see in all of this as we are watching it come to fruition before our very own eyes?
Well, obviously, I think we see our country standing with Israel. I think you're seeing the likes of Guatemala, Paraguay, and hopefully others that are going to come along. But I do think we have to keep in mind from a prophetic standpoint that the day is out there that will come where nations will unite against Israel. And I think that it's fascinating to see this playing out today. But I think it is certainly a momentous occasion of which we can be grateful for and celebrate as we are standing alongside our ally.
And Mark, continuing on that little bit, now you obviously, Lord willing, you will be a congressman from the 9th District. You've not been in office in Washington before. You're evaluating. There's a lot of evaluation going on. But what the president has done and this change, this stronger alliance of the United States and Israel already referred to, is making impact around the world. If I look on headline news right now, Iran is obviously there at the crossroads on the opposite side of this. The Palestinians on the opposite side of this. Turkey's Erdogan is now saying that the United States has lost its mediator role by taking sides. Well, I'd like to know what you think about that as you're going into it, because knowing who your enemies are, knowing who your friends are something that's important, but it does impact policy and international geopolitical relationships. So how would you look at this and say, as a matter of policy going in, good, bad, or indifferent? Better to be aligned or better to be the middle of the road and not aligned hardly with anybody?
Well, you know, I heard that discussed a little earlier today, that somehow we've lost our ability to broker peace in the midst of everything happening in the Middle East. Let's be honest about it. There's no real peace that's being found there right now. And I think that to somehow say that this move removes us from being able to be in that mediation position, I just think that's kind of a false narrative, because the reality is, if anything, this may put us in a position of strength to be able to say we're going to keep our commitments, we're going to keep our promises, and we're going to expect those that we do business with to do the same thing. And I think that not only what we're seeing here in Israel in the Middle East, but I think when you look at this president and the strength that he has demonstrated, that is why North Korea, I believe, has come to the table, and we're seeing progress made there like never before. And I think that we're going to continue to see those kind of decisions. We've needed a foreign policy after 8 years of Barack Obama doing something called leading from behind that nobody ever really understood. It left us with our allies not sure where we stood and our enemies mocking us. And we are seeing a 180-degree shift from that right now. And I think we are beginning to see some of the fruit in this president's second year in office just beginning to emerge. And I think it's something wonderful, and it's extremely impressive to me.
Mark, we could not agree with you more. I don't think it could be summed up any better than what you just said. It is astounding to watch the leadership traits of this president being lived out in a realm that he had no prior experience, but he is succeeding, I think, and succeeding royally. I'm getting word that there is a banner that's hanging across a street there in Jerusalem today that says, Trump, make Israel great again. And I find that to be interesting. But what is also amazing is leading up to today, as the president announced our recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital, and then the pending move of our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem that has been completed today. One of the things, Mark, the president said was this: Jerusalem is not just the capital of Israel, it is the eternal capital of Israel. For him to use that word, to me, speaks volumes. I'd love to have your thoughts on that.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that speaks to, again, this president's openness and understanding by the people he has surrounded himself with. Just the very fact that you had John Hagee and Robert Jeffress there today, leading in their various roles, the opening and closing. I think there are people that this president has surrounded himself with that are helping him see and understand the perspective that many of us hold. And it does speak volumes to his commitment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard what Mark just said. The president has surrounded himself with the kind of people that understand not only the place Israel has in the world, but the place Israel has in the scriptures. It's the apple of God's eye. And we have not had this kind of leadership. We have not had these kind of advisors, perhaps in our lifetime. So this is an amazing time. When we come back from this very brief time out, we're going to tie all this together in what we call our solution segment as we continue and conclude this discussion, explosive situations in Hawaii, Israel, and Washington, as we converse with our special guest, Mark Harris. Don't miss this discussion coming up after the timeout.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Ladies and gentlemen, our topic of discussion today has been this: explosive situations in Hawaii, Israel, and Washington, D.C. We've talked a little bit about the Kilauea volcano that is erupting and the 18th fissure that's opened up over there. I'm sure you've been watching that on the news. We've talked a lot about what's going on in our nation's capital with Mark Harris, a candidate for North Carolina's 9th district seat there in Washington, D.C. And now we've moved to what's going on within the nation of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, we are living at an absolutely incredible time. If you cannot hear the excitement in our voice, then maybe you don't have your ear close enough to the radio. We are beyond excited about what's going on because these are amazing, amazing days. And while our confidence is certainly not in any man or any group of men or women, certainly in Washington, D.C., our confidence is in the Lord. Yet it is a very encouraging thing when we see policy implemented that is in alignment with God's truth. And so much of what President Trump has been doing, so much of what he's doing currently, reflects policy that is acknowledging God, God's word, God's truth, God's mind about so many things. And for us, that is an amazing thing. And for the country, that will be nothing but an incredibly good thing. Now, we're going to tie all this together here in just a moment. But before we do, I want to encourage you, if you have not yet done so, to visit our radio website. It's standinthegapradio.com. When you get to the homepage there of the American Pastors Network, which is where that website address will take you, standinthegapradio.com, you're going to see three orange tabs in the middle of the page. One says Stand in the Gap Today, one says Stand in the Gap Weekend, one says Stand in the Gap Minute. Those are archived radio programs from the past. You can click on any of those by date or topic, and you can listen to them. In fact, I would encourage you to go back and listen to this program again because of the nature of the discussion we're having today. But you can do that with any program. It lists the guests that we have that particular day. We're also on social media. We'd encourage you to visit there as well. And you can also download our Stand in the Gap app. A lot more I'd love to say about that, but I want to transition here and talk to our special guest as well as to Sam and Gary about this. Sam, I want to go to you first. It's hard not to be excited when after 8 years of everything that was anti-American and in many ways anti-God, anti-constitutional, we now have a president that is doing, as Mark said, the polar opposite. It's a 180-degree turnaround, and I think what our president is doing could be encapsulated well in the form of this coin that the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Sanhedrin, has just released or will be releasing shortly, that has a commemoration of Israel's 70th birthday. It has a drawing or a carving in the background of Cyrus, the pagan king that gave the command to go back and rebuild the temple. And then it has in front of that very visibly an image of Donald Trump, and it's comparing the two together. Sam, I find that to be very, very intriguing. And again, it's hard not to be excited what we're watching currently. Love to have your comments on that.
Well, Dave, I agree with you. And I think one of the things that I look at is this, is that, you know, we often view an election and a president as a point in time circumstance. In other words, we view it from our viewpoint, our lens of the state of our economy as of the day, of our international relationships as of the day, that kind of thing. We need to back up. And I think take a much broader look. And that's what that coin evidences, because when the Sanhedrin and Jewish people look at the state of Israel, they don't look at it as a state of time. They look at it as a point in a large continuum. And as we talk about biblical worldview in the program, we say that God is ultimately working out his plan of redemption over time. That's bringing forth Jesus Christ, ultimately coming back the second time. Israel's the focus of that. And I think when we look at these kinds of events, Dave, just as that coin would indicate, there was a long ago impact, a Cyrus. There is a current day impact, a Trump doing what is being done. And it takes the importance, I think, of what we're seeing and puts it into an entirely different perspective. The focus really must go to the God of heaven, who is working out his plan way back, current, and in the future. We are witnessing a really key point of that overall continuum, and it should make everybody who is aware and watching just extraordinarily excited, because we're seeing something that is not just a point in time. It's a part of a much bigger plan, and we are seeing, I think, the elements of the final plan of God's events coming into play, and they're beginning to move very fast, and all of that is exciting.
Well, it is incredibly exciting, Sam. And Mark, I know you believe God has led you to run for Congress from the 9th District in North Carolina at this strategic moment. I know you're excited about the possibility of going to Washington, D.C. Why is it so critical? We believe it is. I know you believe it is. But why is it so critical, seeing what we're seeing now, to continue the momentum by having people in Congress that support the president's agenda, which you are unequivocally committed to doing? Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Well, and let me just first say, I think Sam's analysis and what he just pointed out is absolutely spot on. And I think it's a tremendous analysis of that coin and really the whole situation there. You know, I look at what's happening in Washington today, and I realize and believe in my heart, and Beth and I prayed diligently, because this was a huge decision for us to take this step of faith, to step away from something I love doing, preaching, pastoring First Baptist Church Charlotte, who we love with all of our hearts, and they've loved us, to step into this arena and to put it all out there. But we believe that there is just a small window of opportunity to turn our nation around. And we feel like this is that opportune time that God has raised up leaders that we pray are going to take a like-minded heart. We didn't, when we got in this race, we had no idea that there were going to be 40 Republicans that would announce that they were not going back. And now with us winning Tuesday night, it's at least 41 that will not be going back to Washington after this fall's election, which means there is an opportunity for a freshman class of like-minded individuals that can go work together and see if we can't move this nation forward and move this president's agenda forward. And I just believe we've got to be like the sons of Issachar. We need leaders who understand the times in which they live. And I think this is that opportunity.
Mark, I could not agree with you more. And Gary, you heard it said. I heard it said. Sam, you heard it said. Mark, I don't know if you heard this or not. You were not in the room when the comment was made. But our dear friend, Congressman Louie Gohmert from Texas, said this a year ago. He said, we have 2 years. We have 2 years in which to see our nation turn in a direction toward God, in a direction back toward our Constitution. We're now a year into that 2 years. We have 1 year left. And so, Gary, I believe this. I believe what Mark has just said is exactly right. This is our moment. This is our time. I'd love for you to comment briefly on that. And then if you would, take us to the throne of grace as we exit the program and pray, not only for Mark, but pray about all these things we've discussed today, because this is a critical time.
Well, this is a critical time, and I go back to what Bibi Netanyahu said earlier today, and that is you can only build peace on truth. And I think we are living in a day and age when we must get out the truth, because absolute truth will change people's lives. And Father, I pray that indeed as a nation, we will turn back to truth always. But I pray also for Mark Harris. Thank you, Lord, for putting him in the position that he is in now. I pray your protection on him as he continues this race, and it would be our prayer that you would put him into office, and we'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Our special guest has been Mark Harris, candidate for North Carolina's 9th district congressional seat. We encourage you to continue to pray for him, stay in tune with him on social media and on the internet, and then join us again tomorrow for our next installment of Stand in the Gap.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.